Your Lord has saved me. lift up and praise this morning. Our God is worthy. There is victory in the name of Jesus that we can pray for, that we can declare. Come on, somebody give him praise in this place, for he is worthy. Hallelujah. you this morning to lift your hands up. Worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is worthy.
Depart, I will send it to you. And so then, after Jesus rose from the dead, after his resurrection, he appeared to the disciples and he told them, go away to the city until you receive the promise of my Father, until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So they were waiting in the upper room. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, suddenly, as they were gathered together, there was sound, the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And the Bible said tongues of fire sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak out with another tongue. And as they got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, they went out and miracles began to happen. Signs and wonders. They began to turn the world around, turn the world upside down. What's interesting to me is although they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, two chapters later in Acts chapter 4, it says again while they were gathered together, they were praying and they were again filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know that being filled with the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time experience? Do you know that when you come to church every Sunday, you need to get refilled with the Holy Spirit? And do you know why we are singing the song, Pour It Out? Pour it out, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Let your glory fill this house. Tongues of fire. What are we saying? We are singing. We are calling upon the Lord. Lord, let your Spirit fill us once again. Pour your Spirit out upon us once again, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That's what we're singing. That's what we're declaring. Amen. Listen, man, I don't want to come to a dead church with nothing happens, nothing moves, no miracles. May God goodness me. Some churches, so dead. The only thing that moves is the ivy growing up against the walls. The woodworms eating through the pews. I mean, some churches, if you say hallelujah, they'll carry you out. You're disturbing our service. Listen, we're not in a dead church. We are in an alive church. We are a Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking, miracle-believing church. you to sing it one more time with me. And this time I want you to lift your hands up before the Lord, and I want you to sing it like you mean it today. I want you to sing it from your heart today. I want you to lift your hands and declare it. Lord, come, Holy Spirit, pour it out. Once again, fill me. Once again, let your glory fill me, Lord. Fill this house today in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands with me. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me again today. Have your way in me today. Say, Lord, pour your Spirit out upon me in the name of Jesus. Come on, sing it again. One more time.
Good job, guys. Amen. Beautiful. Well, welcome to church this morning. So good to see you. You're glad to be here? And an awesome day to be alive. Amen. Awesome day to worship God together. And, you know, we want to welcome you. We want to welcome those who are visiting for the first time. If this is the first time you've walked into this church, I don't know if someone invited you or if you just wandered in or came in through some kind of advertising that you saw, we're glad you're here. We just want to just say that we hope you feel comfortable. We hope you just relax and enjoy the service and that you get something out of it, that you're encouraged today. But if you are here for the first time, would you mind just raising your hand that we can welcome you? God bless you. Welcome. Welcome anyone else. Keep your hand up till an usher gets to you. Sometimes people are a bit shy, but if you are here for the first time, just somebody near you, get a gift bag from the ushers. In there's a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there, hoping it'll be encouragement to you. There's a white card, and when we pass an offering bag by later on to receive the offering, just drop that white card in. It gives us a chance to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for joining.
Yes, we're glad you're here today. All of those here as first-time visitors, I hope I get a chance to meet you. I hope after the service, if you can, come say hi to me. We'll be in the lobby. We'd love to meet you. And I also want to say thank you to everyone who invited somebody to come to church today. How many of you invited someone? Maybe they didn't come, but you invited them anyway. Wave your hand if you invited someone. Well done.
Awesome.
Well done.
Awesome.
Thank you for inviting someone. I was just talking to Jesse before the service, and it was his first time here last week, and he was invited by Tony. Who's Tony? By Tony. And so he said to me, I invited someone to come to church today, and they said they were coming, but then at the last minute, you know, they didn't come, they bailed out. So I said to him, don't be discouraged, just keep inviting them. Because Tony was invited by somebody else in our church 12 different times. 12 times, right? I'm not exaggerating. Am I exaggerating?
Yeah.
You told me that. At least 12 times. Janice invited you like 12 times. And you before you came. Well, thank God she didn't give up. Because here you are now, you're saved, you've been in the church a few years, and you invite probably more people than I don't know anyone who invites more people than Tony to church. And so, don't give up. If you invited someone and they didn't come today, keep on praying for them, keep on inviting them. You've got to understand, we're in a spiritual warfare. You know, the enemy's not going to just lay back and... The enemy is not just going to lay back, and he's going to try and oppose you. When you invite someone to church, he's going to try and discourage that person from coming. It's a warfare.
Right. Yes.
The Bible talks about that Satan is the god of this world, and that he has blinded the minds of unbelievers. People that don't know Jesus, their mind is blinded. And so you've got this warfare going on, so you've got to be praying for them. And taking authority over the enemy and keep on inviting them. And then if they don't come the first time, then maybe they'll come the second time, and maybe they'll come the third time, and maybe they'll say, listen, I better go to church because they're not going to give up, and they're going to keep on inviting me. I better just go. That's what I did with my mom. I said, Mom, if you stop nagging me, I'll go with you to church. I said, I'll get off my back. I'll go to church one time. She'll be happy. And what, my whole life changed. Amen. We were talking last night about Pentecost.
Yeah.
And I wanted you to share some, it was interesting to me what you were saying.
Yeah, it's so interesting, you know, because the Bible is so specific. You know, we think some things just kind of happen when they happen. But, you know, for believers that we believe in Jesus the Messiah, the dating of Pentecost is one of the most exquisite examples of type and fulfillment in the scriptures. You know, there's in the Old Testament, there's a lot of types and shadows, and then through Jesus, it's fulfilled. And sometimes we don't even see the relevance, but Pentecost, like Pastor Steve said, the word means 50, and it's actually 50 days from another feast. So you know there's all the feasts in the Old Testament. So there was the Feast of First Fruits, And Pentecost, these calculations, if you want to read about it, it's in Leviticus 23, and it talks about the feasts and how you calculate them. So the Feast of First Fruits fell on the first, the day after Sabbath, after Passover. So
let's start with Passover.
No, I'll tell you.
I will get there.
This is what I'm telling you. Did I explain it to you?
You did, but not like you're saying it now.
So. No, but I'm going to explain it. If they look puzzled, I will say it again. Okay, so you have Passover falls on one weekend, and that Sunday begins the Feast of First Fruits. So it's on the same weekend. You get that? And then Pentecost is 7 weeks later on the Sunday, on the day after Sabbath. So 70 days later. But the amazing thing about it is that we know that Jesus was crucified on Passover. Isn't that right? He was crucified on Passover. He actually died on the Thursday night. And they hurried to bury him because they didn't want him, that they didn't want to do any of that on the Sabbath. So they hurried to bury Jesus. And he lay in the tomb 3 days and three nights, the Bible says. And then on the Sabbath, which was first fruits, when the priest was going in to bring the offering of the first fruits, see, I told you nothing is by chance. The priest is going in to bring the first fruits. Jesus rises from the dead. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that he is risen as the first fruits. And then we come to Jesus walks the earth for 40 days as in his resurrected body with his disciples, and then he ascends. You see him in Acts, he ascends, and then he tells them, go and wait in the upper room. Go wait in Jerusalem for the promise that is to come. And on the day, on that Sabbath day, which we celebrate today, is the birth of the church. That is where the church is born, right there. And the Holy Spirit comes. It is the day of Pentecost. It's Pentecost Sunday, and it's the beginning of the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Harvest, the Festival of Harvest. So it's so specific. Jesus dies on Passover as they bring in those lambs in for slaughter. Then he rises on first fruits, and then the Holy Spirit is poured out at the Festival of Harvest, at the Feast of Weeks. God has a timetable, family. God knows what he's doing. So what we're celebrating today is the beginning of the church. That's where the church was born, and born in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Amen.
All right. Praise God. So, you know, Passover, because isn't there a Jewish celebration this weekend?
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes. Shavuot.
And what is that?
Shavuot is...
Is it the Feast of Weeks?
It's the Feast of Weeks, but it's all about tithing.
Right. So, you see, these feasts or celebrations that God gave them in the Old Testament, like, for example, the Passover. Passover is when God brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian slavery and bondage. And they had to put the blood of the lamb on the lintel above the door. The angel of death came, and everyone, if he saw the blood, he passed over. Remember that story? Now that was a type and a shadow. Because Jesus is the true Passover lamb. Because Jesus has come, and our sin has been poured upon him. So Passover was a type. It was a shadow of what was to come. And the same thing, the Feast of Weeks, it's a shadow of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All of this, you know, it's amazing how it ties together. It all comes together. Amen? So today we celebrate, it's Pentecost Sunday, and we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to the earth. And so I want to just, let us just pray before we get into God's Word this morning. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have sent to empower us, to be our guide, our teacher, our friend. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence, that you are with us. You never leave us or forsake us. We thank you for your presence, for your anointing. And we welcome you in this place, Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll touch every person, every life. You'll fill every person today in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much, brother. Now, as you heard me say, today is Pentecost Sunday. What does that mean? It's the day we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming to the earth. When Jesus was still on the earth, he told his disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, he said to them, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus said it's to your advantage. If you read the contemporary English version, it says, I'm going to do what is best for you. That is why I'm going away. The Holy Spirit cannot come to help you until I leave. But after I'm gone, I will send the Spirit to you. Now, why would it be best for us to leave the earth? Why would it be better to our advantage? Because when Jesus was on the earth, he was in a human body, and he was limited by that human body. In other words, Jesus couldn't be everywhere and all at one time. Jesus had 12 disciples. And of those 12, he had three that were really close, Peter, James, and John, because being in a human body, you know, it limits you. And so, if Jesus was still on the earth today, let's imagine that he never went, he never left, and he was still on the earth, and you wanted to go see him, and you have to go get a taxi and book a flight over to Israel and get on the plane, fly to Israel, get there, get a taxi, get a hotel, and then make your way. Where's Jesus at? Go get in line. And maybe 20 years later, you're still in line. But if you think Disney World has long lines, can you imagine the line to see Jesus if he was still on the earth after 2,000 years? What kind of line do you think there'd be to see Jesus? You've got no chance of seeing the Pope. You would never be able to see Jesus. So Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away, because if he was still on the earth today, you and I wouldn't be able to talk to Jesus. We wouldn't be able to see him or meet with him. But the Holy Spirit is not limited by a physical body. He has come to live on the inside of each and every one of us. 24 hours a day to be our helper. You can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's come to be your helper, your teacher, your guide. He's come to empower you. And today we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming to the earth. 50 days ago we celebrated Easter. 50 days ago we celebrated Jesus' resurrection. And after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples, as my wife was saying earlier. And he told them to wait in Jerusalem, and they were, because they were going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, in my first book I told you, Theophilus, about everything that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. And during the 40 days, after he suffered and died, he appeared. Remember my wife said, 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, he was on the earth. He was appearing to people. He was talking to people, like more than 500 people. Did you know that? More than 500 people saw him. And so he says that from time to time, he appeared to the apostles, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. And it says, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, he said, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
And then if you go down to verse 8, it says, he said, you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, until the end of the earth. When you receive this power of the Holy Spirit, it's going to make you a witness for me. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.
Let me tell you, family, Jesus is coming back again. Jesus is coming back again. And you know what? He is coming back. The Bible says he's coming back. He's coming back as the captain of the army, of the armies of the Lord. He's coming back on a white horse. He's going to come back for the Battle of Armageddon when the nations, Iran and Russia, are going to come against Israel. They're going to surround Israel. There's going to be a battle called the Battle of Armageddon. And let me tell you, just when it looks like it's all over, Jesus is coming back with the armies of heaven. He's not coming back as a baby in a manger. He's not coming back as meek and mild. He's coming back as the captain of the armies of the armies of heaven, with fire in his eyes. Let me tell you right now, he's going to consume the enemies of God. That's what the Bible says. He's going to come back and rescue Israel. You see what's going on yesterday in London. You've got to understand this. Islam is our enemy. Islam is our enemy. Now, some people, they get offended when you say that because they don't know what, they don't understand what I'm saying. Islam is not a race. Islam is an ideology. Arab is a race. Islam is not a race. I'm not being racist. You see, our political correctness, our politicians have got this culture where if you say anything against Islam, you're a racist. Listen, Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one can come to the Father but me. I'm telling you right now, everyone who follows Islam are going to hell. They're going to hell. They're not going to heaven. Now, I love everybody. I love Muslims. My job is to help to get them saved, to share the gospel. I want them to get saved. Amen? But you don't understand that Islam is an enemy. And I believe that when Jesus returns, it's going to be the battle between Islam and Christianity. That's what it's going to be. When the Bible talks about people having their heads cut off, I always wonder, how we don't do that today in our society. They don't cut heads off.
Doing that today.
Let me tell you, the Jesus we serve, when he comes back, he's going to rescue Israel. The Bible says the blood's going to flow as tall as the horse's neck. I don't know about you, but I'm on Jesus' side.
Yeah.
I'm in Jesus' army. I'm on the green side. Amen. Then they, going back to Acts 1, they returned from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, these are all the disciples. James, Simon, Judas. It says these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Just thought I'd throw that in. Mary was there too. You know Mary? Hail Mary. How do they say it? Hail Mary, full of grace. Mother of God. That's the one. She was there. She's about to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You tell all your Catholic friends, do you know Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues? These all, look at it, says, Mary the mother of Jesus with these brothers. And what happened? And it says, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, about 120 of them. 120 waiting in the upper room. Now, you know what's amazing to me? Jesus appeared to more than 500. He appeared to more than 500. And he told them, go away to Jerusalem. And 120 showed up. Where were the other 380? They were too busy. They were at home. They were too busy. 120 showed up. And it says 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus rose, the Holy Spirit comes to the earth. In Acts 2 verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire. One sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Say, filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, they speak out in another tongue, in another language. It's a supernatural, heavenly language that you receive when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. When you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you begin to speak out in a heavenly language. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive." You see, when you pray in tongues, your spirit is praying, not your mind. It doesn't come from your mind. You don't understand what you're saying. It's a heavenly spiritual language. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 from the New Living Bible says, if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Now, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 16 years old, and I started praying in tongues, and I've been praying in tongues for 37 years, and I do not understand what I'm saying, because my spirit is praying in a heavenly language. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him in the spirit, he speaks mysteries." I'm speaking mysteries, secrets, directly unto God. You see, some people have said to me, "Well, Pastor Steve, you know, let me explain to you what happened. Let me set you straight, Pastor Steve." They said, "What happened is God enabled those people to speak in a foreign language. And the reason it happened is so that they could spread the gospel around the world. So God gave them the ability to speak other languages. Of course, it was only for their time. It doesn't happen anymore today." And the reason they jumped to that conclusion is if you carry on reading Acts chapter 2 verse 5, it says there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed. They marveled. They said, "Are these not the ones who speak? Are they not all Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" And then it goes on and tells you all the different languages. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia. These are all different languages. I can't even pronounce some of the other ones, can you? I mean, I've got Egypt, parts of Libya, Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Jews, proselytes. You see, all different kinds of people are here in Jerusalem. Cretans. You ever heard of a Cretan? Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own language the wonderful works of God. Now, here's what they couldn't understand. How could these people who were from Galilee speak all these different languages? How could these people hear what was being said in their own language? Notice it says they heard them in their own language. It doesn't say that they spoke in their language.
Right.
You see, how could they be speaking in everybody's different language when there were so many different languages? That wouldn't be possible. If you've got 10, 12 different languages, how's it possible they're going to speak all these different languages? No, what happened is, God supernaturally opened the ears of those who were listening and enabled them to hear what they were saying in their own language. Now, I've had people come to me when I've sometimes publicly been maybe speaking in tongues. I've had people come to me and say, "Pastor Steve, do you know you were speaking Arabic?" Egyptian lady came to me one time, said, "You were speaking Arabic. Do you know Arabic?" I said, "I don't know a word of Arabic. I'm speaking in tongues, but you heard me in Arabic." She said, "Let me tell you what you said." Now, I've had that happen with other languages. So it wasn't that they spoke, it wasn't that God enabled them to be able to speak Chinese or Russian. No, they were speaking in tongues, and God caused the people that were listening to hear it in their own language.
Amen.
Are you with me? And it says, so they were amazed, and they were perplexed, and they said, "What can this mean?" And others said, "They're full of new wine. They're full of new wine." The New Living Bible says they're just drunk. Some people said they're just drunk, man. Why did they think they were drunk? Why did they look at these people being filled with the Holy Spirit and say they're just drunk? Because of the way they were acting. Have you ever seen a drunk person? Have you ever been drunk? Don't put your hands up. But to Does anybody know how a drunk person acts? Oh, everything's good. Oh, they're happy. Ha 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 ha. You ever seen a drunk person? No inhibitions. Are you my friend? Are you doing that? They thought they were drunk. Why did they think they were drunk? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were full of the joy of the Lord. I've seen my wife so full of the Holy Spirit that if you didn't know her, you would think she was drunk. We had to carry her home. She couldn't stand up. I had two people bring my wife home, carry her home, because she was so drunk in the Spirit that you would think she was drunk. Do you know the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isn't it interesting that the Bible compares being drunk with being filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you know why? Because being drunk with alcohol is a counterfeit of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a cheap imitation of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, it is true, real joy and no hangover the next day. No hangover. Joy and peace. The Bible says don't be drunk with wine, but be drunk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Are you with me? Verse 14, Acts 2. I'm going back to Acts 2. It says Peter standing up with the 11. He raised his voice. And he said, men of Judea, and all you who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and heed my words. He said, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. You know the prophet Joel Osteen? No, not that one. This is the prophet Joel. He said, it shall come to pass in those days. In the last days. How many of you know we're in the last days? Yes. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Yeah. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Yeah. Let's have you know you're a young man or an old man. Young men see visions, old men dream dreams. On my men servants, on my maid servants, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you've got to realize these men, the disciples, many of them were fishermen, regular common people. But when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to do the extraordinary. They begin to do amazing things. They begin to go and heal the sick, cast out devils, preach the gospel to the world, turn cities upside down through the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let me tell you right now, as we face this future, that these attacks that we're in are going to get worse. I hate to tell you this, but it's going to get worse. But you need the power of the Holy Spirit protecting you, guiding you, leading you. Amen?
Amen.
The church needs the power of the Holy Spirit. The church, by and large, the church today has denied the power of the Holy Spirit. Religion teaches us that the supernatural is not for today. Miracles, signs, and wonders, speaking in tongues, casting out of devils, that's not for today. That passed away. The church has been robbed of the power of the Holy Spirit. So generally the church has become a dead institution with no power, no miracles, nothing happening. So the young people in our world are drawn off to the occult and different things because they desire the supernatural in their life. People sit like mummies on a pew, listen to sermons telling them that God doesn't do this and God doesn't do that and there's no supernatural here and miracles don't happen anymore. But we are not going that way. We are going to face the future in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not afraid of the future. Amen. And you know, it's one thing to be born again. It's one thing to be born of the Spirit. But it's another thing to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's another thing to get the full power of the Holy Spirit in your life. A lot of people have jumped over Acts chapter 2. They want Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, we see signs and wonders and miracles. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John meet the lame man at the temple, the gate beautiful, and he's lame. And they grab him by the hand. They say, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. And the man immediately is healed. And he went with them, walking, leaping, praising God, when walking into the temple with him. A lot of people, they want the miracles. They want the Acts chapter 3, but they don't want Acts chapter 2. You see, because they were first filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And they began to speak in other tongues. And then they went out in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Apostle Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verse 4. He said, my speech, my preaching, were not the persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. That your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. You see, that we've got today a lot of preachers, they're very eloquent. They're very persuasive, but there's no demonstration of power. There's no power. It says, I didn't come to you with eloquent, persuasive words, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Right. In the New Living Translation, it says, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. In the Contemporary Bible, it says, I simply let God's Spirit show His power. I simply let God's Spirit flow through me. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to demonstrate His power today. Say, the Holy Spirit wants to demonstrate His power in me and through me. Let me tell you, the power of the Holy Spirit is still for us today. Unfortunately, there are many people who deny the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't talk about speaking in tongues because they don't want to offend people. And they don't want to be persecuted. Because let me tell you something. When you stand up and you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be persecuted. Not everyone's going to like it. Jesus said they hated me, they're going to hate you. And so a lot of churches, we don't want people to think we're crazy. We don't want to be strange. We don't want to seem weird. So let's not talk about the Holy Spirit. Let's not talk about praying. I don't give a hoot if you think I'm weird. I don't give a hoot what you think about me. You've got to care what people think about me. If I didn't know what people think about me, I wouldn't be standing here today. I'm just going to stand for the truth. I'm going to proclaim the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. This church, let me tell you, we are not backing down from the proclaiming the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in a God of miracles. Amen. So when you proclaim the power of the Holy Spirit, you might be persecuted. But you know, the Apostle Paul, he knew the Holy Spirit. He knew the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, my preaching were not with eloquent words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Yeah. He also said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, the Apostle Paul, who by the way, went to heaven 3 times, who by the way, wrote more than 2/3 of the New Testament that we read, that man, he said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. More than any of you. He said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Say this, God wants me to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to speak out in the other tongues. Do you know when Paul the apostle would meet believers, you know, that he didn't know? The first question he would ask them is, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? In Acts 19, verse 1, it says, it happened while Apollos was in Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, he came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples. What did Paul find? Disciples. What's a disciple? A follower of the Lord. Would you agree with that? Didn't Jesus say, go into all the world and make disciples? So he found some disciples. Are these people believers? Yes. What did he say? He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So what did they say? We have not so much as heard whether there is the Holy Spirit. So it's like a lot of Christians today. If you ask them, have you received the Holy Spirit? You know what they'll say? What's that? What do you mean? They've heard about it. So it says, so when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues. Same as in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke. It was filled with the Spirit. They spoke in tongues. Why did Paul ask them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Because Paul knew the importance of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Paul knew how important the Holy Spirit was. Let me tell you, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the things that happens to you is you're able to speak out in this heavenly language. And being filled with the Holy Spirit is a subsequent experience to salvation. In other words, you don't get filled with the Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus. Because these people were believers, they were disciples, but yet they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You still get it?
Yeah.
In Acts chapter 8, a man named Philip went to preach in a city called Samaria. And it ended up becoming a great revival. He preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there were many miracles. And the Bible says lame people walked. And people were set free from demons. And multitudes were saved. And so then in Acts chapter 8 it says, when the apostles who were in Jerusalem, when they heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they came down, they prayed for them. Yet what did they pray? That they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So notice, Philip goes and preaches in Samaria. And there's a great revival. And many people get saved and miracles happen. And when the apostles in Jerusalem hear about it, they send Peter and John. And the first thing they do when they get there is pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me the Holy Spirit is not important. Jesus said, don't go anywhere. Wait in the city till you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Paul meets two Christians and he says, have you received the Holy Spirit? In Samaria, there's a great revival and they send Peter and John. And the first thing they do is pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, family, you need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to be able to pray in this heavenly language every day of your life. This gift of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. And every believer should pray in tongues. If you go back to Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38, that same chapter where they were filled with the Holy Spirit, in verse 38, it says Peter was preaching and he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, for the promise is for you. Say, the promise is for me. The promise is for you and your children and as many as are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. This is for everybody, family, just like salvation is for everybody. Just like water baptism is for everybody. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is for everybody. Not just for the next few, it's for everybody. Amen? In Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to everyone who asks Him? You see, the Holy Spirit has been sent for you. You need Him. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to be able to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 6 verse 18, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times. And on every occasion. How often should I pray in the Spirit? On all times. Every occasion. Amen. Why do you need to pray in the Spirit? Steve, why don't you come to speak? It kind of feels weird, you know? I kind of feel like a bit of an idiot. It sounds crazy. Why do I need to pray in the Spirit? Because it's supernatural things that happen when you do. Number one, let me tell you the first thing. When you pray in the Spirit, you pray God's perfect will for your life.
Amen.
You pray the perfect will of God for your life.
Yeah.
In Romans chapter 8 verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses.
Yes.
For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. That's our weakness. We don't always know what to pray for. Is there anyone here who says, Pastor Steve, I'm not always sure what to pray for?
Amen.
One, two, the rest of you, come at the end of the service, I'm going to cast that lying devil out of you. The truth of the matter is, there's times I don't know what to pray for. That's part of a weakness, that we all, as human beings, we don't know everything. It says, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It says, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When I don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit helps me to pray according to the will of God. And, verse 28 says, and. How many of you know you're not supposed to start a sentence with and? I wasn't a great student, but one thing I remember. You don't start a sentence with and. How many of you know that and means he's not finished speaking? So when it says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But he makes intercession for us according to the perfect will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who call according to his purpose. You know what that means? When you pray in the Spirit, even when you don't know what to pray, you are praying the will of God for your life. And the Holy Spirit is helping you not only to supernaturally pray the will of God, but he's causing everything, all things to work together for your good. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more the Holy Spirit can orchestrate and bring things together for your good. Because you're not praying with your own wisdom. You're praying with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Even though you don't know what you're saying, you don't know what you're praying. Praying in the Spirit is what allows God to work on your behalf and bring everything in my life into harmony with his perfect plan. When you pray in tongues, you can expect all things to work together for your good. Let me tell you, one of the best and the greatest things you can ever do is pray in the Spirit. Because God can arrange your future. God can arrange for you to meet the right person. He orchestrates things for us. When you face a problem and you don't know the solution, it's when you say, Holy Spirit, I'm facing this problem. I don't know what to pray. I commit this to you. Help me to pray the will of God so that I'll make the right decisions and you'll order my steps. You see, you can pray God's will for your loved ones. I pray for my children that way. I say, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to pray for my children, your perfect will to be done in their life. The second reason why you need to pray in the Spirit, number one, because it enables you to pray the will of God. Number two, because when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues, you fellowship with the Holy Spirit and it helps you to become more sensitive to hearing his voice and following his direction. Are you with me? The more, how many of you know, the more time you spend with someone, the more you get to know and recognize their voice. Even little Brady. Brady's only 3 and a half. And you can put Brady in a group of kids. And if Brady cries, I'll recognize him. He's not even my son. He's my grandson. But I've heard him cry a few times. And so I can recognize it. Why? Because just spending time with him. Do you know that's the more time you spend with the Holy Spirit, the more sensitive you begin to recognize his voice. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, it says, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. See, God wants us to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. When I pray in tongues, I'm not speaking to man. I'm speaking directly to God. I'm fellowshipping with the Lord. I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. In verse 14, it says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. When I pray in an unknown tongue, it's my spirit, not my mind. My spirit, by the help of the Holy Spirit, is praying. You see, your spirit is in direct contact with God, who is a spirit. You're talking to him by supernatural means. When I pray in the Spirit, not only am I supernaturally praying God's will to be done in my life, but I'm also fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. It makes me sensitive to hear his voice. It makes me able to receive guidance and direction for him. Let me tell you, the more you pray in the Spirit, the more sensitive you become to know him. Does that make sense for you? Number three, when you pray in the Spirit, you are supernaturally edified. You are supernaturally charged up, built up. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Do you know what the word edify means? It means to build up. What is an edifice? An edifice is a building. So to edify is to be built up. Jude verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Say this, when I pray in the Spirit, I'm building myself up. The Amplified Bible says it like this. It says, but you build yourselves up on your most holy faith. You make progress. You rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. You pray in the Spirit, you rise higher and higher and higher. You get edified, you get built up, you get charged up by by praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, who edifies you? You're the one who determines. You can determine how much edification you need. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more edified you get. In fact, Greek scholars tell us we have a word that's closer in meaning to the word edify, and that word is the word charge. Yes. Just like you charge a battery, just like you charge your cell phone, you can supernaturally charge up your spirit by praying in the Spirit.
Amen.
And I tell you, every day we need to be recharged in our spirit. You are charged with power when you pray in tongues. Yeah. The anointing, the presence of God comes upon you as you pray in tongues. How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I mean, Dolores was telling me the other day, she said, Pastor Steve, I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that I got filled with the Holy Spirit. She says sometimes, you know, when I'm driving in the car, sometimes for hours, I just pray in the Spirit, and it's changed my life. I just, every day I pray in the Spirit, I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. Number four, praying in the Spirit brings you supernatural rest and refreshing. In Isaiah 28, Isaiah prophesied. He said, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now, what is the rest? What is the refreshing that Isaiah is prophesying about? He's talking about the born again. He's talking about us today, born again believers who will be filled with the Spirit, who will speak out in a heavenly tongue, stammering lips, another tongue, and this is the rest. This is the refreshing. You see, he's saying that when you pray in tongues, it brings rest to you. It brings refreshing to you. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 7, it said on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried out. He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Living, living water. And then it says that this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus hadn't left yet. Are you with me? Jesus likened the Holy Spirit to rivers of living water. How many of you know water refreshes you?
Yes.
How many of you know water is refreshing? Yes. Amen? Yes. So does praying in the Spirit. Yes. Do you know praying in the Spirit? Say
praying in tongues.
Refreshes me.
Refreshing.
In Acts 3 verse 19, it says, repent therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Do you know that when you spend time in God's presence praying in tongues, you know what happens to you? It refreshes you. You experience a rest. The dictionary defines the refresh. The word refresh, it means to impart fresh strength or energy, to reinvigorate, to revive, to make yourself a fresher or more energetic. Praying in the Spirit brings a supernatural refreshing, a supernatural rest. The dictionary says that the word rest, it means to recover strength, to recharge your batteries. Freedom from anxiety or disturbance. Freedom from whatever worries or disturbs you. To be inwardly quiet, composed, peaceful. Do you know what I found? And let me know if you found this too. I found when I pray in the Spirit, I have a peace that comes upon my mind. I have a rest that rises up on the inside. I can have 1,000 different things going on in my mind, 1,000 different problems, thinking, what am I going to do about that? What am I going to do about this? And I start to pray in the Spirit, and there's a peace. My mind becomes rest. My mind becomes peaceful. How many of you know what I'm talking about? One, two, three. Some of you need to start praying in tongues. Because I'm telling you, when you pray in tongues, doesn't matter how anxious you may be feeling, when you pray in tongues, there's a rest and a peace that suddenly comes upon you. It's a refreshing. Praying in the Spirit brings peace and rest to your mind. Sometimes the doctor tells you need a rest cure. Well, let me tell you, this is the best one in the world,
Amen.
Praying in tongues.
Amen.
You can take this rest cure every day. It's better than any vacation. And in these days that we live, these days of turmoil and insecurity and perplexity, we need this rest. We need this refreshing. It comes by praying in the Spirit.
Amen.
And then number five, I'll give you another one here. Praying in the Spirit allows the Holy Spirit to arrange protection and deliverance for you and for your loved ones. I said praying in the Spirit allows the Holy Spirit to arrange protection and deliverance for you and your loved ones. In Isaiah chapter 59, the prophet said he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. He wondered that there was no intercessor. Do you know God needs intercessors? Do you know that God cannot do anything in the earth unless someone prays and asks Him to?
Yes,
and let me tell you, family, there are so many needs in the world today, and yet God doesn't move to solve these problems unless someone stands in the gap and intercedes and asks Him to. Look at verse 19 of Isaiah 59. It says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. When the enemy comes against you, like a the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. The word standard means to put to flight. It means to make to flee. Do you know when the enemy comes against you, the Holy Spirit will lift up a standard against him. He will put him to flight. He will make him flee. Maybe you know of Christians who've been overcome by problems. They went under. The Holy Spirit didn't deliver them. How come he didn't deliver them, Pastor Steve? But how come he delivered this one and not that one? The answer is verse 16. I wondered that there was no intercessor. You see, the Holy Spirit needs to work through a yielded Christian who allows the Holy Spirit to pray and intercede through them, so that the Holy Spirit can lift up a standard like a flood and the enemy's attacks can be stopped.
Yes.
But how many of you know the devil has come to steal and kill and destroy? But God knows what the enemy thinks even before he thinks it. And the Holy Spirit will warn you and prompt you to pray so that God can protect you and rise up a standard against the enemy.
Hallelujah.
I remember when I was working for Pastor Theo back in 1983. We had a leaders meeting. It was on a Thursday night. And all of a sudden, Pastor Theo stopped the meeting. He said, we need to pray. Somebody's life was in danger. He sensed somebody's in danger. He had this sudden feeling of grief, like someone had died. And he realized the Holy Spirit is telling him to pray. Somebody is in danger. And so he had us all stand up. And we all prayed. For about 10 minutes, we prayed in the Spirit. Everybody prayed in the Spirit. We're all praying. And then after about 10 minutes, he said, I feel that burden lifting. And he asked him, well, what's the time? And it was 8:10 p.m. on Thursday night. On Monday, he got a call from his secretary. Her name was Angelique. She said, Pastor Theo, I need a ride to work. I don't have a ride. He said, why not? She said, on Thursday night, me and my husband were driving in our little Renault, and a truck ran a red light, and it hit us, T-boned us, straight on. The fire department came. They had to cut us out with the jaws of blood. They said, we've never seen anybody survive this kind of accident, and they walked away without a scratch. They didn't even Pastor Theo said to them, what time did that accident happen? They said 8:30 p.m. on Thursday night.
Wow.
Right at the moment we were praying. I wonder what would have happened if Pastor Theo never responded and never got us all to pray. I wonder. I remember one time when I had the burden to pray for my wife, 1989, I was working for Pastor Theo back in Johannesburg, South Africa, and every morning before I went to work, I would get up and I would pray for 1 hour in the Spirit, and then I'd read my Bible, and then I'd go to the office. And so on this day, I was praying, I was getting ready, reading my Bible, praying, and Jill was going into town, and I said, well, I'm going to be finishing in a little while, and you go ahead, and then I'll get ready, and I'll leave when I'm ready. So suddenly, as she leaves, she goes out the door, gets in the car. I had this burden come on me. The urgency, keep on praying. And so I carried on praying for like another hour. Now I'm late for work. I'm an hour late for work. But I came up to something was arresting me. Keep on praying. So I got to work. And then I found out later on that Jill nearly got in a really, really terrible accident. She was on the freeway during the lunch hour traffic. And there was roadworks, and they'd shut like 4 or 5 lanes down into one lane, like sometimes they do. So it caused this backup. Well, she was driving, and the next thing she looked, and all the traffic was stopped, and she was heading at it at 75 miles an hour. So she slammed on her brakes and lost control of the car. The car started spinning, we call it donuts. What do you call it? You know, going in circles like this. She went right off the freeway, across the median that separates the north and and stop traffic. She went all the way across onto the other freeway where the traffic is coming from the other direction. She's spinning around like onto the other freeway. When she gets on the other side, her car is now facing in the right direction. It's turned all the way around. She looks in her rearview mirror. She sees the car's bearing down. She puts it in second gear, takes off. Wasn't her car, wasn't damaged. I believe the Lord protected her. I believe that my praying had a lot to do with the Holy Spirit arranging protection. I wonder how many times has the Holy Spirit trying to be prompting you and telling you, you need to pray. You need to pray. And we ignore it. We ignore it. The Holy Spirit is trying to tell you, pray. And then finally, number five. Why should I pray in the Spirit? It's a deeper dimension of worship. Yeah. Jesus said in John chapter 4, he said the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is looking for people who will worship Him. Will you be one? Will you be a worshiper? God is seeking people who will worship Him. Oh, I'm too important to worship God. I'm too proud to worship God. Anything, doesn't matter who you are, you've got to get down on your face, down your knee, and worship the Lord God. Every knee is going to bow. And every knee is going to confess. It doesn't matter if you're a billionaire. It doesn't matter if you're the president. It doesn't matter who you are. Humble yourself and get down and worship the Lord. He is seeking those who will worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Remember in Acts chapter 10, it says Peter was still speaking these words. And while he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word of God. And it says those of the circumcision who believed, they were amazed, astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Because they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. You see, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. He said, what is the conclusion? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. And I will also sing with the understanding. You see, today, I sing along with the songs. Come, Holy Spirit. Pour it out. Pour it out. I sing. You say, you don't sing very good, Pastor Steve. That's not what Jesus said to me. He said, you sing good, Steve. Keep on singing, man. I love it. Make a joyful noise. You see, sometimes I'm singing, pour it out, pour it out. And then sometimes I'm singing in the Spirit. I worship God in the Spirit, and I worship God in my understanding. When you worship God in tongues, you are supernaturally worshiping God from your spirit, and it's a deeper dimension of worship. Are you with me? Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine. That'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking, singing, songs, hymns. Spiritual songs among yourself, making music to the Lord. How do you stay full of the Spirit? You keep worshiping God. Yes. You keep singing. You keep praising. Yes. You keep stirring. You're praying in the Spirit. Worshiping in the Spirit. That's how you stay full. Amen. When you begin to worship, you begin to sing, the presence of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And let me tell you, wherever His presence is, there is joy, there is victory, there is peace. The Bible says that His presence is fullness of joy, and His presence is fullness of joy. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Move on from me. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Move on, Teresa. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. Oh, aren't you?
Amen.
Move on to the end for one more. There you go. I'm thankful. When I was 16 years old, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I started speaking in other tongues. It changed my life. I thank God for the Holy Spirit and for His power. Amen? How many of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit and you speak out in other tongues? Hold your hand up and wave it to me. Wave it to me today. Okay, I want you to just start right now. Right where you're sitting, just start speaking out in tongues. Right now, right where you are. Just come and speak out in tongues. Just start speaking in tongues. Come on, pray out. Pray out in tongues. Now if you say, Pastor Steve, I don't pray in tongues. I haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit like you're talking about. Today's your day. Today's Pentecost Sunday. Today's your day to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Today's the day for you to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Today is that day. If you say, Pastor Steve, I want to receive the Holy Spirit. I want everything God has for me. I want this power in my life. I want you to come right now. I'm going to pray for you. Service is not finished with. We've got some things we want to do. So don't leave whatever you do. But if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, listen, you need to come right now. Come and stand here. I'm going to pray for you. Come out right now. Come on, everybody. Let's stand up together. Let them come out. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come right now. Today is your day.
Go!
Now is the time. Amen. Come stand right here. Come stand right here. Come on. Come right now. Come on, don't be shy. If I said to you, how many of you would like $1 million, would you need to think about it? Family, stretch your hand toward these people. Help us begin to pray out in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit today. In the name of Jesus, receive. There you go. There you go. There you go. In the name of Jesus, receive. Father, receive the Holy Spirit. You're filled in Jesus' name. There you go. Speak those words out. Keep on praying. Keep on praying, church. Keep on praying. In the name of Jesus, receive. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Start speaking out in that heavenly language. You're going to let those words come out. You're going to open your mouth in faith and speak them out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you see, Charlie. In the name of Jesus, you see. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. There you go. There you go. In the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Receive in Jesus' name. If you're standing at the front, just keep your eyes closed and just begin to pray those words. In the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Receive in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Come on.
encourage you to continue to pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues every day. You know, when I first was filled with the Holy Spirit at 16, I didn't pray like I do now. I didn't have the confidence. I just had a couple of words. I just had a few words. And Pastor Theo told me, Steve, just keep on praying those words. And I did. And one night I was lying in my bed and I was praying my few words. And all of a sudden this language came out of me. And let me tell you, I started praying in the Spirit for an hour every day when I was 16 years old. I started praying in tongues for an hour. And I really believe that that is what enabled the Lord to guide my life in such an amazing way. Because I really came to be sensitive and to know His voice. And I want to encourage you, man, to pray in the Spirit. Maybe you can't do it an hour every day, man, but take some time every day and pray in the Spirit. You're driving in your car, pray in the Holy Ghost, and you'll find you'll become so much more aware of His presence and so much more sensitive to Him and to His voice. And you'll walk in a new power. You'll walk in a new boldness. I mean, have you ever wondered why the same man, Peter, who denied the Lord three times he said, I don't know the man. That same Peter, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, he stood on the streets in Jerusalem and preached with boldness, and 3,000 people got saved. What changed him? It was the power of the Holy Spirit that changed him. And you know, when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, it'll bring a new boldness to you. It'll empower you to be a witness for Him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise. Who's speaking in tongues? Were you praying in tongues? Sherma's place. It's in the Jupiter Commerce Park. It's on 860 Jupiter Park Drive. This Wednesday at 7 p.m., we're going to join together and we are going to pray. Amen. I said, we are going to pray.
Amen.
In the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the Muslims are celebrating Ramadan right now? And do you know what they're doing? They are fasting and praying 5 times a day. Let me tell you one thing. One thing I will say about the Islamic faith is they are dedicated. If Christians could get half as dedicated as Muslims are, if imagine Christians were praying 5 times a day, we have a hard time getting Christians to come and pray once a month. You know why? They're too busy. Maybe when a bomb blows up next to you, you won't be so busy. You'll have time to pray. I mean, if I can just tell it to you straight.
Yeah.
We need to make time to pray.
Amen.
People say, I'm praying for London, I'm praying. Don't lie, you're not praying. You're not praying for London, you're not praying for Paris. You're just putting a little picture on Facebook that says you're praying, but you haven't been praying. If we got down and prayed, maybe things could happen.
Amen.
Coming together on Wednesday to pray because we don't have anything better to do. Like you busy and I'm not. I've come to pray because it is a priority. Because I believe in the power of prayer. Because I believe the scripture says if you humble yourself and you pray and you call upon the Lord, He will hear from heaven and He will heal your land. I believe God moves when we pray. And so I want to encourage you Wednesday night, man, make the effort and come and join us. And let's pray in the power of the Holy Ghost that the revival can shake America.
Yes.
That the power of God can be poured out on America.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to be there. Not about you, I'm going to be there on Wednesday. I'll be there Wednesday. Not about you, I'm going to be there on Wednesday. I'll do it tomorrow. Praise God. How many of you glad you came to church today? Maybe I'll preach a little bit too long today.
No, you don't.
Come on. I want you to know, my heart, when you come to church, I want it to be worth your while.
Amen.
I can get up here and give you a 15-minute little talk and get you out of here in 45 minutes if you want. But I want you to come and it be worth coming.
Right.
When you receive God's word, when God does something in your life. Amen.
Amen.
I believe the Lord touched you today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today.
Good preaching. Good preaching. Amen. Power of the Holy Spirit. We had such a good barbecue at our house yesterday. It was so good. Who was there? We were rained on. And we had such good food and such good fellowship, like just the whole afternoon. I brought everybody who left your stuff at my house, I brought it today, right? Thank you. And hats and raincoats and t-shirts. I don't bring those, so I'm keeping those. Praise God. Well, you know, and I wanted to say, you know, it's so good that fellowship, the church that plays together stays together, right? But the church that prays together stays together. So let's be the ones who come to the barbecues, but not to the prayer meetings. They're both equally important. Amen. Right now is the time where we're going to honor the Lord by with our tithes and our offerings, and then we're going to give. And as we're talking about Pentecost, we've counted 50 days, like we said, from Jesus' resurrection, and we come to Sunday, June the 4th, 2017. You know that the first Pentecost was 33 years after AD 33. Yeah. And so this reminds us that we are part of the first fruits. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, and we are part of the first fruits. We are the church, the beginning of the church. We are God's harvest. Amen. And there are wonderful advantages and rewards to being in the family of God. But on this day, you know, I was telling you that you can read in the scripture about these different feasts. And on this day, the Pentecost Sunday, there is God's command specifically that we should give an offering. Do you know that? We do what the Bible says, right? And Deuteronomy 16 verse 9 says this. In my Bible it says, the Feast of Weeks reviewed. So he said the beginning of the Feast of Weeks or Festival Harvest begins today. He said, you shall count 7 weeks for yourself. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the grain. So, it should be coming up. You know that scripture? You got it? It's coming up. Verse 10. Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with the tribute of a free will offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. Then you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. So God gives them very strict, specific instructions about this Pentecost offering. And the translations call it a tribute offering. I don't know if you can understand that. We can understand that a tribute means to bring a gift to given to a lord by a subject. Can you imagine a tribute given to a king? You've heard that said before, right? Maybe a nation would give it to their ruler. Isn't that true? And so what this is, it reminds us that we are under authority. We're under authority, right? Any of you have a lord over you? Jesus is our Lord. God is our Father. Amen. And so we are in subjection to Him. And we know it. We believe it. And we know that we don't have the final say of our lives. My life is not my own. When we give our hearts to the Lord, we give our lives to Him. My life is not my own. My destiny is not my own. My will is not my own. I subject that to the Lord. And so in this passage, it says on this day, they were told to bring an offering which was a tribute to their overlord. We have an overlord, don't we? We have a Lord over us. Our Lord and Master is God. So we've been bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ, and we owe Him everything we have. And so today we bring Him, we remember, as it said in Deuteronomy 16, verse 12, you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt. How many of you know that you were on your way to hell?
Yes.
We got to remember, family, that we've been delivered. We've been delivered, translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are no longer slaves. Amen. We have been delivered. And so we should be careful to observe what He says. So today, what does this Pentecost offering mean to us? It means we're subjects of a great King, and today we offer Him tribute. So today, just as you get prepared to give, there are envelopes on the seats right where you're sitting. Those who are watching online, you can go ahead and just click give online. There's various ways to give. It'll come up on the screen. And we're going to give today. We tithe. We bring our first fruits to the Lord as His Word tells us to. We bring our tenth. We bring our offering. But I ask you, before the Lord today, just ask Him, what is it you want me to do? I want to bring a tribute. I want to give tribute to that He who is over me today. Amen. In thanks for all He's done. Anybody with me this morning? Amen. Go ahead and prepare your offering. And we're going to pray right now. Father, I thank You. We thank You for who You are. We thank You for what You've done. We thank You for the plan that was before the foundation of the world. You had this plan laid out, just the times and the dates and the seasons, and You had us in mind. When You said if a seed falls to the ground and dies, then it produces a harvest. Thank You that we are Your harvest. Jesus fell to the ground and raised up a church, Father, a family of believers. And so, Father, today as we come, we offer You tribute. We give, we sow, we say You are our Lord. We thank You. Everything we have comes from You. In Jesus' name. Pastor? Thank you.
Praise God. He's done a great miracle for us. You know, when we lost